All right, well, I will call us to order on this sunny but cold day. Can you verify that we have a quorum, Pat?
We do have a quorum, and just my usual reminder to fill out the attendance slip and leave it on your chair. And thanks to Farrell, he'll pick them up after the meeting. And also, remember, if you want to make a comment or ask a question, please go to one of the microphones. Thanks.
Thank you, Pat. Can I have a motion to adopt the agenda? Roger. Did you get that, Pat? All right. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? All right, the agenda is adopted. We'll move to the approval of the minutes. Can I have a motion to approve the minutes? Second? Thank you. Are there any corrections or additions to the minutes? All right. All in favor of approving the minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? All right, the minutes are approved. Pat, do we have any timely requests for a public comment?
No public comment today.
All right, thank you. So it says NIU President Lisa Freeman's announcements, but obviously it will be me announcing today because Lisa is snowshoeing in Utah. So good afternoon and welcome to the first University Council meeting of the semester. As I said, President Freeman is taking a well-deserved vacation this week and can't be with us, but I'm sure she will be thinking of us as she snowshoes in Utah. I have two items that she asked me to talk to you about today. The first one is some really good news on spring student enrollment. As you know, over the past 2 years, COVID has had an immense impact on our students, faculty, and staff, and I'm sure we'll be seeing the echoes of COVID for many years to come. However, this spring, we can report that the re-enrollment and retention of our undergraduate students has returned to its pre-COVID levels, and in some cases, even exceeded those levels. For our first time, full-time freshmen, and that's the group that we usually think about, although it's kind of a small group of our students, our re-enrollment rate this spring is 88.3% compared to 85% last year and 87.9% in the year preceding the pandemic. So overall re-enrollment is 82.5% compared to 81% last year and 82.3% in the year before the pandemic. So not only have we recovered from the pandemic, but we're on the trend that we were prior to the pandemic in terms of better re-enrollment rates for our students. And I really want to thank and acknowledge all of the hard work that went into achieving those numbers. There was an immense effort to support our students both inside and outside of the classroom, respond to their mental and emotional needs. And I'm sure for many of you, just lending a sympathetic ear at the right point in the semester to keep a student going and staying enrolled at NIU. And it's these efforts that really produced these extraordinary results. They were much better than I was hoping for, and it was very gratifying to see. When you do a lot of hard work, it's really nice to see it pay off in a really explicit, measurable way. So the second piece has to do with our budget. As you might be aware, we are also entering the budget development phase for NIU. I think it's useful to remind everyone of the lengthy process that ultimately results in our state budget. And so I just kind of want to run through the timeline for you. So in the fall, individual institutions put forward their budget requests to their individual boards of trustees. And we did that at our November Board of Trustees meeting where they approved our preliminary budget. In January, the Illinois Board of Higher Education develops and recommends a budget request and submits it to their governing board. In February, the governor gives a budget address where he spells out his recommendations for higher education, among other things. The date for that address this year is February 15th. President Freeman will then appear before the House and Senate Appropriations Committees to discuss our budget request sometime between February 15th after the governor's address and April. The dates for these appearances have not yet been set and get set a little bit later in the spring. Then in mid-May, the state legislature passes a budget. Sometime in the month after the legislature acts, the governor signs the budget. The governor could also veto the budget, but that's unlikely given that we've got unified government. The final product is a state appropriated budget for NIU sometime in June. So I think what President Freeman wanted me to point out to you is that it's a complicated process and it's a lengthy process, but She is always engaged in advocating for NIU and for the needs of our particular institution with its unique mission. At the IBHE January board meeting, the board made their budget recommendations for the Governor's Office of Management and Budgeting to consider when developing the fiscal year 24 budget. The board recommended an overall increase to higher education of 7.5%. The institutional allocations proposed were an interim approach until the Commission on Equitable Public Funding presents their findings in July of 2023. The distribution recommendation is based on the percent and number of Pell students served at the institution. Using this formula, IBHE recommended that NIU receive an increase of 11.5%, bringing our annual appropriation, if approved, to $102 million for fiscal year 24. IBHE also recommends a $50 million increase in MAP in fiscal 24 and asks for a continuation of the AIM High program at its current funding level of $35 million. And as you know, both of those programs have been critical to help our students afford to be at NIU without undue hardship on their families. President Freeman spends much of this time over the next 4 months tracking the budget and other legislation with the support of our state relations officer, Katie Davison, and Chief of Staff, Matt Streb. She's a strong advocate for the unique public mission that NIU has to serve our diverse students, engage with the state, and create new knowledge. So that ends my report for today and Lisa's comments, President Freeman's comments. And now I think I will turn the gavel over to you.
Ingram. So this will now take us to agenda item 7. And we have one agenda item today, and that will be introduction and welcome of George Middlemiss, Chief Financial Officer. As part of the ongoing effort, as most of you know, to make University Council a valuable instrument to enable various university committees to share, update, and receive feedback from this body, we thought we might also extend the opportunity to formally introduce Dr. George Middlemiss, Vice President for Administration and Finance and Chief Financial Officer, CFO, and to provide him the floor to share any thought or impressions he might wish as a way of introduction. And before I pass on the floor to you, Dr. Middlemiss, I know that President Freeman and Provost Ingram, and I'm sure many others, have already welcomed you or introduced you to the university community. Nevertheless, we want to take this opportunity to formally welcome you, or shall I say, formalize your initiation into shared governance at this university council. I don't know what the ritual is, if there's any that we could invent or perform. So before I move on, just a word or two about Dr. Middlemiss. Dr. Middlemiss holds a PhD in public affairs from the University of Colorado, Denver, Colorado. He is a certified public accountant, and prior to joining NIU, Dr. Middlemiss served in various senior level positions in finance, budget, and accounting in the administration of higher education at the Metropolitan University of Denver, Denver, Colorado. Prior to joining NIU as a Vice President for Administration and Finance and Chief Financial Officer, he held similar position at Metropolitan University of Denver. And among the several notable positions he held at the Metropolitan University of Denver, besides, you know, his current, I mean, the CFO position, include serving as Interim Vice President of Administration, Associate Vice President, Controller, a Controller, an Interim Vice President of Information Technology, Director of Accounting Services, Director of Business Services and Student Account, and lastly, but not the least, Senior Accounting Manager. Dr. Middlemiss Welcome to the University Council. We're very proud that to have this opportunity to welcome you and to welcome you to as a Husky member and to help the university achieve our institutional goals and mission. So the floor is all yours now. Thank you.
I'm assuming I have to go over the floor.
Anyway, as you.
So I first, I'm not Dr. Middlemiss, I'm just George. Dr. Middlemiss is my father and my mother, but it ain't me. So when you see me, George is really good. What was not on my resume that I'm super proud of that I also did at MSU Denver is that I was the interim athletic director as well. So you can tell I dig the swag. I dig the swag because it means I don't have to wear a suit and tie. You wear the logo, you don't have to wear a tie. So I'm really excited to be here. If you'd asked me a year ago that I would leave Denver for any opportunity, I would have told you no, that there weren't other places that I wanted to be because the mission of MSU Denver was really, really special to me. As I explored this opportunity, realized how special the NIU mission and the students that we serve is. Found myself saying yes to Dr. Freeman when she offered the position to me, much to I think my surprise, because it never occurred to me that I would leave. So super excited that I'm here. Wished it was a little warmer. I knew you'd leave Denver, Colorado for a place that was colder in the winter, but we'll get to the heat. I'm guessing sometime late March it starts to thaw a little bit, right? With that, you know, I don't have a whole lot that, I got a whole lot that I'm learning and meeting new people, but I don't know if, those of you that haven't had the chance to ask me questions or, give me feedback, if you wanted to share anything with me, otherwise I'll turn it back over, here, accountant, person of few words, sort of. Hey, it's okay. I'm used to dealing with teenagers and they don't ever say anything at the breakfast table, right?
George, my name is Greg Beyer. I'm the representative of the College of Visual and Performing Arts. And I just didn't want you to leave the podium without someone saying hello to you. So sure. Welcome.
Thank you.
We're really grateful that you're here. One of the features of University Council meetings for the last 18 months or so has been regular reports from the previous CFO about what we have all come to know as multi-year planning, a way to deal with a structural budget deficit and ways to work out of that over the long haul. So I don't know that I really have a question about that other than that we look forward to hearing those same reports in a similar vein from you and to hear your particular perspective and vision and maybe some of your strategies from your previous work about exactly how we can make NIU stronger and better with every passing month and year. So welcome.
Thank you, I appreciate that. And one of the things that I hold dear is actually coming to groups like this, coming to Faculty Senate, meeting with departments and schools and colleges to walk through kind of where we are and what we're doing. And part of the way of being transparent with your finances, which is really, really important.
One question, George. If not, please join me.
Move now to item Roman numeral 8, report from councils, boards, and standing committee. And our first report would be 8A, Faculty Advisory Council to IBHE. And we have Linda in presence.
I'm here, yes.
Good afternoon and welcome, George. Don't worry, I rarely get questions asked of me either, unless it's Greg. He's pretty good about asking questions there. So today I'm going to report on the FAC meeting in December that was held at Prairie State College. We did have the opportunity to meet with the president of Prairie State, Dr. Michael Anthony. Muy buena gente. He's super approachable, really nice guy. Had a great conversation with him. I can tell that the college is facing some of the same challenges that many two-year and four-year institutions are facing, such as, you know, how to move forward in this post-pandemic higher ed institution, the changing student needs, different modalities, there's also seeing a decrease in their enrollment. So how do they address this decrease in enrollment and also provide students the courses they need in order to transfer or to be to go and transition into a workforce place. Same type of challenges. He had a few questions also about how we could better collaborate with the four-year institutions and also about dual credit. It's an interesting conversation. Okay. Jennifer Delaney reported out. She's the public university rep to the IBHE and again expressed her concerns with the use of adequacy. Heard me report out on this several times now as a conceptual frame. We don't have a property tax base at public universities, which leads to creating artificial constructs to create buckets, moving away from this data or making things incredibly complicated, this whole adequacy notion with the commission. This is concerning for setting up a statewide funding model. It is one step away from price controls, she said, because tuition is one of the few levers in economic downturns and when state funding is cut. She also mentioned that the model is about institutional costs, which fosters state level micromanagement. There are other ways of conceptualizing adequacy, she said, such as looking at average funding for high school students and offering no less funding for higher ed. Not quite sure how that would play out though. And the president of Louisiana's higher ed system proposed an enrollment-based funding model with little performance-based funding if an institution was serving more vulnerable populations. So she said that we're losing sight of equity when looking only at adequacy. Okay, and I think that her full comments you could find online. It's a Open Meeting Act. We also met with Rebecca Buckle on Prairie State's dental hygiene program. So if you want to know more about that, just send me an email. I have pages and pages about the dental hygiene program, yes. I could tell that Katie wants to learn more. Just send me an email, Katie. And we had a guest presentation by Professor Justin Pariseau on Prairie State's African and African American Studies programs. Great presentation. If you want to know about that, just send me an email. I have pages and pages of notes. I'm not going to read 13 pages single space notes, so don't worry, I won't give you that. You're glad for that, aren't you? I know. Okay. And then we met with Jackie Moreno, who she's the Illinois Student Assistance Commission College Access Initiatives Managing Director. That is a long title. Who has a title that long, right? And Eduardo Brambila is ISAC's Capacity Development Managing Director. And Jackie described programs that help first-generation students connect to college, such as the near mentoring offered in each of Illinois' community college districts through the ISAC Corps. Illinois Gear Up for middle school students, really trying to make that connection at the middle school level with students and preparing them to start thinking about college. Nice idea. And the First Generation Scholars Network for students before and during their first year in college. She also described questions to prompt thoughtful course design and social capital building that faculty can develop with first generation students in mind. So I have a bunch of notes from that. It was a great presentation. If you want to know more, please send me an email. Again, pages. They are quiet, George, aren't they? Okay. Working group reports for higher education funding. They are trying to discern its direction now that performance-based funding is by the wayside, and they're preparing a short document listing items they think essential in any funding formula. So institutional mission, equity, periodic review of items, et cetera. With this shift toward adequacy funding, they're going to need to revise that list. So it's constantly shifting target there. Equity Working Group, Julie reported that they're continuing to collect examples of university equity plans, and they're going to provide suggestions for improvement in the plans. Nice. They are also collecting and curating resources for DEI, which they plan to present at the March IBHE meeting. They've been asked back because they enjoyed their presentation back in December. Student faculty mental health, they've collected some initial data from a trial survey with FAC members, and they're trying to put together a PowerPoint summary for this group, potentially planning to pursue IRB approval for a larger survey. And then early college online remote learning, the group, we'll report on that in the next meeting. But anyway, they developed a description of potential benefits and costs of taking early college coursework. And we took that into consideration. The January meeting is probably going to get approved at our February meeting. So they're working on that. Prior learning assessment. Rather than a position paper, they're preparing a short white paper aiming for a deadline of March and April. Not much to report there. Okay, sorry. Student debt and affordability. That's my group. We met with Senator Laura Murphy. Anyway, legislators are waiting to resubmit AIM High, and bills won't advance until there are answers about student loan forgiveness, especially on the federal level right now. Potential students today would be discouraged from student loan forgiveness, getting such a lukewarm reception from several people. And this might affect us even more than it already has. We told Senator Murphy that we would synthesize our info and share it with her, because we did look at what other states are doing in terms of student debt and affordability. Let's see what else. Okay. In our caucus reports in general, we discussed issues of cybersecurity and the use of university filing systems for storing research and course materials and issues of FERPA, et cetera. And I think that is it. Our next meeting is going to be held virtually. It's a Zoom meeting, just makes me sigh. They're really long, aren't they? When it's like 9 till 3 in the afternoon. Yeah. I know. I find myself playing with the cat halfway through for a little break, right? You gotta get up, walk around, come back outside, you know. Anyway, and in March, we're gonna be back at Chicago State. So just wanted to mention also that I did receive additional feedback regarding faculty burnout, and I was not able to attend the workshop in January. Did any of you go to the faculty burnout workshop? Yeah. But I did hear from a colleague of mine that there were over 50 participants in that workshop. So interesting to note, right? Yeah. So thank you very much. Any questions? Okay, Greg.
Any questions for Linda?
Okay, very good. Good. Thank you very much. I'll see you next week. Yes.
Okay. Okay, so we move to agenda item 8B, University Advisory Committee to the Board of Trustees. Members of this committee comprise of Felicia Bohannon, Harley Nicholson, Katie Jekyll, Karen Whitby, Brad Cribe, and myself. So do any of my colleagues on this committee have anything you would like to share? Well, if not, I will maybe just kind of provide a brief select. I don't know, I think Linda has something for you. From the podium to her seat, I think she's just trying to get you into. Right. Well, anyway, from the last time the University Council convened, I think the Board of Trustees met on December 8th. And for those of you who were at that meeting, one thing that really stood out was the huge attendance of United Faculty Alliance membership in relation to the ongoing negotiations with the administration over a host of issues, including salary and so many other issues. During that meeting, President of the UFA, Dr. Kerry Ferris, gave a passionate presentation and urge the trustees to, or ask whether the trustees to urge President Freeman to urge the admin to come back to negotiation table. And as we speak, I believe still one could characterize it either stalemate, impasse, or ongoing. And because I know that, you know, there are assessments of, you know, other kind of options. So we very much hope that, you know, progress will be made to this effect. So that is one thing that I think stood out for me very clearly. I mean, from that December 8th meeting. Other agenda items include President Freeman's formal presentation of her 2023 university goals and her request that the trustees approve the goals, which they did unanimously. Other agenda items included the president request for trustees' approval of three other items, namely conferment of honorary doctorate recommendation for two candidates, one of whom whose name was forwarded to the board or for the board's approval was Her Royal Highness Princess Gusti Kanjeng of Indonesia. The board requests for the board approval of appointment of Dr. Lori Elish Piper as interim executive vice president and provost effective July 1st was also presented and approved by the board. So these are just select kind of items, and I don't know if any of my colleagues have anything you'd like to add, or otherwise I would say the next, I mean, those interested, full report for the board meetings and minutes can be accessed using the links in the informational items, and the next Board of Trustees meetings will be the committees, individual committees, and that I believe will be February 16. So this kind of does it from my part for the Board of Trustees shared governance meeting. And we will move now to agenda item 8C, Rules, Governance and Election Committee. Do we have a? Okay. Student Government Association. We have Rife.
All right, good afternoon, everyone. I have a brief report from the Student Government Association for you all. A couple of internal things. So in December, our former chief of staff, Corey Batts, graduated, and we are incredibly excited for him and thankful for his service to the SGA over the years. And so starting this semester, our new chief of staff, Mr. James Innes, starts. Mr. Innes is a sophomore accountancy student, and he is also a two-tour veteran of the United States Army. We are incredibly excited for him to come on board with us. He has incredible experience and leadership experience, and we're really excited to see what he does in SGA in his career at NIU. A couple of other things. So as I reported at the last meeting in December, SGA was approved for additional funding of about $200,000 for this year, and we have begun using that funding. So far this semester, we've distributed an additional $12,000 to student organizations for student programming across the board, and we are fully moving forward with funding more student organizations as the weeks come along, and we're excited to see what kind of impact that brings to student engagement and involvement for this semester. The SGA leadership team will be flying out to Louisiana over the weekend of February 11th to attend the American Student Government Association a leadership convention that will be taking place. And so we're really excited. This is an opportunity that we've been afforded for the first time. This isn't something we've historically attended. And so we're excited to see what we can learn and network and what changes we can specifically bring to the student government at NIU, learning from our peers across the country. And then last but certainly not the least, on February 24th at 3:30 p.m. in the Carl Sandburg Auditorium, we will be hosting the State of the Student Body Address. That address will be open to the public, and we will be sending out invites shortly once we figure out some logistical things. But I highly encourage anybody who is interested in attending to please attend. We'll be giving out information on the current state of the student body. Again, this is an address we haven't held in a couple of years due to COVID and a host of other reasons, and we are incredibly excited to get back to it. So yes, please feel free to attend if you are able to do so. And that is all I have for y'all. If you have questions for me.
Questions for Rive? It's great. Thank you so much, Rive.
Thank you.
It's great. Okay, we move now to agenda item 8E, Operating Staff Council. And we have Holly Nicholson in present. And as you can see, we have Holly has provided two prior questions. These questions are kind of designed in line with the idea I mentioned at the very beginning today, that the effort to make university council an instrument to provide not just information, but also to get attain feedback. So it was in this context that we thought that time to time, if there are questions that we feel their membership may benefit knowing ahead and also hopefully providing feedback. So this is Holly provided two of such questions. I don't know if you would like to kind of speak to this or.
I think you covered it pretty well. Just for context, the council talks often and at length about how to communicate with our constituents. They often are people who don't have access to a computer during the day, don't have an IU email on their phone. And so we're always thinking of better ways to find out not only their feelings, but how we report back to them. And I thought this group would have some very diverse ideas about how to do that. We don't have platforms like college senates or anything like that. So we're welcoming of all ideas in the spirit of having more discussion. So thank you.
Linda, is that?
Was that an invite to Hello.
Wow. I'm Linda Saborio Holly. And I'm not officially a member, so can I speak? Okay. Just wondering, I'm not officially a member. So for number one, for regarding advocacy, have you thought about inviting maybe a state rep to join your group? Sometimes these salaries and these different categories are defined by the state. We are a state institution, so. And we've done that before in the FAC, had a great conversation with a couple of our state reps. So it might be something you could consider. So thank you.
It's Greg Beyer from CVPA. I want to thank you for taking the time to present some thoughtful questions ahead of time. And I was really grateful that Pat sent them to all of us for consideration. So I did take the time as a prompt to go and speak to some of my staff in the School of Music at any rate. And Matt Todd, who works in the music building office, said the following in response to one. And then he said that when I asked him question two, he said that it's kind of an interrelated question. So this answer should give you something to work with. He said, in my first year, I had a mentorship relationship with someone named Susan Swagel, who runs the Let's program. She's the Let's program director, and the Let's program is the Leading Employees to Students to Success program. That's an acronym. And she works in HR, and she was someone who sent regular emails with various suggestions. He said that getting those emails was great. But aside from the first email in which he thanked her for the email and introduced himself in response, he never responded to any of the other ones because they felt sort of general. And I think he said that they were probably sent to more than one person. You know, he was just one of many people who got them. But he said that they were, he appreciated getting them, but he hasn't gotten them since the end of the first year. And he said that he really hasn't gotten much of any correspondence or email from anyone since that time either. So he said, honestly, any communication whatsoever would be helpful and comforting to know that I'm connected to a larger circle. If you have a survey or an email that you wouldn't want to send out, I think he would be someone who would be readily welcoming of that. He is someone who sits at a desk and does have access to a computer. So I'm sensitive to your concern that maybe some of your constituents don't have those things. And I didn't speak to, say, you know, custodial services or anyone in that, but I could and report back further. At any rate, I thought he would appreciate that.
Thank you, Greg. Yeah, go ahead.
Hello, my name is Linda Schreigler, and I am a civil service employee and OSC treasurer. Holly, one thing that I heard yesterday in our union meeting and as chair of workplace guidance is that employees are asking for orientation to come back. It was suspended at the beginning of the pandemic. They did do an online version, and now it's completely gone away. So we have employees that are not getting any information, and they're off to a bad start from day one. I just heard from an employee who was here 18 years and got laid off and returned recently and had all these questions for HR and no one could answer them. So orientation would be one way where he could have had an avenue to get this information. And I'm just hearing a lot of these things are getting funneled to me through workplace guidance and OSC. Thank you.
Hey, Holly. Melanie Costello with the Laredo TAF campus, and I understand where the previous comment came from, and I would just suggest that maybe an in-person orientation is an option and also continue with the online orientation, because for those of us who aren't on the DeKalb campus, that's been really useful to have our employees have that opportunity to go through orientation without having to come to DeKalb.
Say to that, in our shared leadership report that is going to President Freeman, we spoke at length about orientation and onboarding and how to have them embrace the Husky culture through that process and have it to be more comprehensive. So I don't have a timeline on that, but it's going to as a recommendation.
Any other question, comment? Well, thank you all. So we move to agenda item 8F, Supportive Professional Staff Council, Felicia Bohannon. I'm not sure. Felicia is not here. Okay. Right. So our next agenda item then is item 9, informational items. And these are informational at best. They contain links to minutes for any of the university committees that are listed there. And one thing of note would be item 9Q, indicating date for university council meetings, which means the next meeting for this body would be March 1st, just like March. February 1st today, so March 1st would be the next meeting. So unless if I miss anything, otherwise I would say we are on to adjournment, and with that I will entertain a motion to adjourn the meeting. Second? Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, any opposed? Great, thank you. Meeting adjourned.